Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday. Praise God. This is Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. I am so glad that you tuned into the broadcast today. We thank and praise the Lord for this day. And this is the day. I truly believe this is the day that the Lord has made. And I thank and praise him for another day I haven't seen before. I thank and praise God for providing for whatever we need today. My scripture would be that what I'm going by this morning is the Lord is and shepherd and shall not want. So I just thank and praise the Lord. That was up on the, in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, but my God shall supply all of my needs this day according to his rich and glory by Christ Jesus. So, Father, I thank and praise the Lord for this day. I trust that you had a glorious and a victorious weekend. I did. I thank and praise the Lord for gracing us the weekend with strength. And I tell you, God is an awesome Father. When Paul was dealing with a thorn in the flesh and he besought the Lord about it, the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient. And, you know, I found out just reading the word don't cause you just to be a doer of the word when you first start out. But ask God fulfill his promise in our life through adversity, whatever we may be dealing with, that's when the word really come alive. It's logo, but that when it really come alive, it really makes a difference. It'll transform your life. So I thank and praise the Lord for victory this weekend. I thank and praise the Lord for what he's doing in your life as well as he's doing in my life. I thank and praise the Lord for the host of this broadcast, who is Apostle Armstrong. I thank and praise the Lord for him. Such a mighty man of God. Thank and praise the Lord for what God is doing in him, in his life, his family. And I just praise God for it. We started a series last week. Maybe it's not a series, but we've been sharing with the Lord gave me a word, and he said, as the time draws nigh, and even now, I really believe we're living in the last of the last days, and it's so many things happening on the earth, but God began to talk to me about sickness and disease and the spirit of infirmity that is really upon the land. I never heard of so much of sickness and disease that people are dealing with in these last days. But the Lord began to remind me, we as born-again believers, you see, the Bible said the earth is groaning for the sons of God to come forward. We are the salt of the earth. We are holding back. We as born-again believers, we is the one that's keeping with the help of the Holy Spirit that abide on the inside of us. We is keeping the enemy off the earth. You know, a lot of time that if you ain't careful, the enemy wants you to look at what's really happening and wants you to believe that God is not doing anything. But God is moving through the believers. That's the plan of God. God is moving through the believers, and we are the ones that God have anointed. Better yet, a Western word would be God have deputized us to take authority and come against what the enemy is doing. But with a lot of the believers, the enemy is trying to, he attacking them in their bodies with certain kind of sickness and disease. Some got terminal diseases. That spirit of infirmity is work. But we as born-again believers need to know who we are, our identity in Christ, what we've been assigned to do. A demon exposed is a demon that's defeated. A lot of time people will say, well, you don't need to talk about the devil. Listen, we exposing the devil. I'm not talking about the devil defeating you, but I'm talking about how God means for us to defeat him. One of our scriptures we used last week was St. Mark, the 16th chapter, how Jesus said, these signs will follow them that believe. And so when someone is telling you about the strategy of the devil and telling you how to overcome him, they is exposing him. They not glorifying him. I don't glorify the devil because he is a defeated foe. But you, as a born-again believer, as well as myself, we need to know that Satan is a defeated foe. And even though he's defeated, he's still being consistent. You know, I was listening at Kenny Copeland conference, and he blessed me through one of the speakers, was Dr. Jerry Savelle. And he was telling us about a lot of the saints is inconsistent. And then through thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Jennifer LeClaire, she one of the person that I join in every morning with prayer. She blessed me maybe about a month ago, and she was saying you cannot defeat a full-time devil and as a part-time Christian. And we as Christian, like never before, we need to really be consistent. We need to be diligent in the things of God. We need to be consistent in our fasting and praying. All of this is so important. The thing, even though Jesus came to give us that abundant life, but Jesus even said in that same verse in John 10:10, he said, I came that you will have life, have it more abundantly. The devil came to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, you is not going to just experience that abundant life without adversity or without the enemy trying to interrupt what God have graced us with. He going to do it. So you might as well get that out of your mind. That's a religious thought. It don't work that way, you know. I have to learn that in the kingdom, once you get born again, everything that God promised us and everything that Jesus did for us is not going to all it manly happen. You have your part to play. Father, it's in the master's name of Jesus. We thank you for this day. We give you praise. We give you honor. I thank you, Father, for this time right now. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is being released and being welcomed over the air to bring enlightenment and understanding to those that have tuned in. I thank you. I decree breakthrough. I decree encouragement. I even decree signs and wonder. I decree that even listening at this teaching, it going to stir the saints' heart or whoever hears that it is God for me, it's God will for me to be healed. But I have to believe and trust and take him at his word. I thank you that the listeners is covered with the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we're just going to continue. We talked about the last time that even that God provided through Christ atonement. We gave you Isaiah. I'm not going to go to these scriptures, but we gave you scriptures that God, the provision for Christ's atonement. It was Isaiah 53:4-5. Jesus took our infirmity, to bore our sickness, and by his stripes he declared that we heal. Matthew 8:16-17, when Jesus was healing the people, he said it was done that the scripture may be fulfilled in Isaiah. Also in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter even talked about the atonement, what Jesus did. What is your purpose? What my purpose through this teaching is to let you know, as born-again believers, that when sickness and disease, when it attack your body, you need to know, first of all, that it's not the will of God. Now, James 5, it tell us to submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, first of all, you is not going to be able to resist what the enemy is bringing in your life if you don't know what is the will of God. Now, I have heard some people say God put sickness on you to teach you. I disagree with that. That's not scriptures. I don't agree with that. But I do know, and we're going to be talking, if the Lord will, maybe next week, about hindrance to healing. But right now, I want to get it. You need to get it rooted and grounded in you. It's God's will for me to be well. Now, one of my minister friends, and we've been praying for Apostle Mackey and Sir Mackey due to the passing of his son. He was 28, you know. But there, too, again, and I found out, you know, we have to focus on what God said about sickness and disease. some people, because of having maybe some loved ones, I heard about somebody died, I prayed for them, prophet, but even in praying and believing, they still died. And I ain't no use in me praying anymore. Listen, never put your faith and confidence in other people's experience with God. First thing, the Lord first said, we need to put our faith and confidence in what God say specific about us and everybody else in the world. You know, because a lot of times you don't know what's all is involved in why that person died. A lot of times you don't know what that person believes or what that person saying to God, and God don't override nobody's will. So I learned, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, he taught me, and regardless of who died around you, whoever, regardless of who dealing with sickness and disease, always put your faith and confidence in what is written, the logo, what God done said about you, you know. Because like I said, and then too, I don't be trying to figure, I used to, don't be trying to figure, well, why so-and-so and that. Now, if you not, you know, if the Bible says you have not because you ask not, now you can ask the Holy Spirit if you choose to. But my point is, don't be sitting around wasting your time, because any time a thought come to you, any thought come to you, they're going to try to discredit and cause you to get into unbelief and doubt. You need to let that thing go. So I'm not here to debate that. I'm not debating that. But I'm just saying what the words say. I want you to see, like I said, in that in Jesus' atonement. Jesus' atonement death was completed and adequate for redeeming the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. See, knowing the will of God, you can't. Your faith begins where you know what God said. God's will is his word. You want to know the will of God? Well, he taught me the word. And God even said, I was in Exodus 15 and 26, where God promised health and healing for his people, the one that would remain faithful to his covenant. See, there too again, you just can't live any kind of way, y'all. Now, yeah, in the four gospel, majority of them people wasn't saved, but some of them were daughters of Abraham. But even with that, God was revealing to us what is his will. We in the four gospel in the old covenant, and Jesus brought us into the new covenant, which is the kingdom of God. I'm going to talk about that if the Lord permits. But there too again, my point is that you need to know, stop allowing sickness and disease and these symptoms of it to torment you or harass you. You don't do that. If a headache comes or any kind of symptom, I had to learn. I begin to rebuke it. I begin to come against it. I hope I said last week on Monday, as well as Thursday, as we continue with talking about this, the will of God and what God wants us to do. Ain't nobody knocking doctors. I went to the doctor about a week ago. I go to the doctor. I'm not against prescription. But God do not want us to make the doctor and prescription our first priority. He wants us to know what he say. The moment you get a symptom, you need to know straight up what is the will of God. God put this sickness on me because I ain't living right. Now, you can open the door to sickness and disease. Some sickness and disease come from the devil, and some of it is self-affliction. I will agree to that. But you need to know that is law of first. That is not God's will for you. That's what I'm really trying to get in you. You can't resist, or you can't have faith in God. If you don't know what the will of God is, you got to learn to resist sickness and disease, the pain. I even gave a testimony that I had to learn, you know, when I would eat seafood, I would watch my knees would begin to hurt, my big toe would hurt, my elbow. And when I found out it was gout, then I went to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and I visited Exodus 15, 26. I went to Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:16-17, 1 Peter 2:24. I found out what was the will of God. That wasn't the will of God for me. He told me to bless my food. And so once I found out, I began to come against it in the name of Jesus by these previous scriptures that I just said. And this is what I'm trying to get you to see. And as the time draw nigh, and you as a fivefold minister gift, even as a believer, the enemy do not want us to cry loud and come against sickness and disease. He wants you to believe it. He wants me to believe that's God's will. That's it. That ain't God's best. God best is that I will enjoy life, that I will be free of sickness and disease. Come on, somebody. But like the Lord told me, he said, a lot of the saints done got immune to sickness and disease. They done got immune to taking prescriptions. And some of them just, well, you know, I just keep on taking high blood pressure medicine. I just keep on taking blood. Instead of believing God, why are you taking it, believe God to deliver you from it? Because a lot of prescriptions have side effects. There too, again, I'm not telling you don't go to the doctor. I'm not telling you not to take your prescription. But I'm telling you, we all need to believe God, believe the promise of God, and believe and trust God that we will experience Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:16-17, 1 Peter 2:24. That's all I'm saying. We ought to want to see the scriptures of the promise of God be fulfilled in our life. But listen, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to first get your mind renewed, because a lot of times our mind can be conformed. Well, it's just God's will for me to be sick. And as I stated before, and one of the teachers, you know, the enemy tried to get me to believe once I get over 40, especially, oh, you're going to have all these aches and you're going to have all these pains and all this. I had to learn that was not God's will for me, and I had to learn to resist it, come against it, rebuke it, and bind it, and you got to do the same thing. The things of God, the promise of God, your inheritance, it's just not going to automatically happen. Okay, so there too again, but as I continue with it, as I said, Jesus' atonement death was completed and adequate for redeeming the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. As sin and sickness have become the twin giant designed by Satan to destroy us, so forgiveness and healing are joined as twin blessings designed by God to redeem us and make us whole. Psalms 103:3. David, the son, began to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not his, all his benefit. Healeth my disease. He forgive us, and he heal us of all of our disease. It's not God's will for you and I to be plagued with any sickness and disease, terminal disease. That is not God's best for you, my brothers and sisters. But you cannot resist it or fight against sickness and disease if you don't know what the words say, if you don't know what's written. You know what called Jesus to conquer the enemy in the wilderness? Jesus knows who he was, who he represented. He knows what was the will of the Father. And when the temptation came for him to sin, he began to say what was written. Now, according to the Bible, according to St. John, Jesus was the Word. But Jesus knows he had to live by logo. He had to live by the written Word. And he did that to show us when we in during time of temptation, we got to own our mouth and say what is written. And a lot of times, if you don't know what's being written, you going to come in agreement with what you see and what your body feels. I had to learn that when I went through having migraine headache, when I was dealing with a disc deteriorating in my body, and when the enemy was trying to put gouts on my body. Now, I don't want anyone to think that Prophet Miller died every eye, crossed every T. Y'all, I'm still becoming. I'm still in the progress. I ain't none of us that arrived, but we supposed to go from faith to faith, and from faith to faith, and glory to glory. Precept, line upon precept. You know, we supposed to go. We supposed to forever progressing and growing in the knowledge, in the revelation, in the understanding of God. And I'm telling you, you know, as a prophet, you know, God let us prophet know some of the things that are going to take place on this earth, because we're his mouthpiece. But I'm telling you, stop, allow yourself to be immune to sickness and disease and immune to prescription. Because like I said, a lot of prescriptions from what I get and some of the other experience have side effects. God don't want none of us on prescription for the rest of our life. But listen, you have to, you can mix your faith with prescription, with medicine, and God will meet you, and God will help you to get delivered, but you got to desire, you got to want it, okay? But as I say, I'm reading some notes, and the believer should press on in humility and faith to possess the full provision of Christ's atonement, including the healing of the body. You know, I had to learn that the faith that God gave me, the same faith that I use to receive salvation, I can use that faith to be healed, to be delivered, to receive prosperity. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, the enemy used to tell me, well, you got to have a little bit more faith for healing and for finance or prosperity than you did for salvation. That's not true. That's not true. There again, I had to learn that. And you need to know you can, the same faith that you use to be saved, you can use that faith to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. The Bible, Jesus said, if we have faith, that's a grain of the size of a mustard seed. So listen, a lot of times you ain't got enough faith. You got to have a, and I don't hear people put that on. You got to have a lot of, if you want to get here, you got to have a lot of faith. I'd have people, Prophet Miller, pray. You got to pray a deep prayer. I don't know how to pray deep. You know, I don't see prayer like that. I don't see faith like that. I just, he said, if I got faith, that's the size of a mustard seed. When I go through the four gospels and I see people, when they went to Jesus, I didn't see where it took them to have a lot of faith. You know, the man with Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. The leprosy, and Jesus, I will. There it is. He would deliver. You know, so, you know, a lot of times we can make the things of God, the principles, the laws and principles, so complicated when they're not. They are simple. Okay, like I said, I want to continue to talk about, I want to talk about the minister of the church. We as in the body of Christ. And there to read some more notes. It said Jesus commissioned his 12 disciples to heal the sick as part of their proclamation of the kingdom of God. He could, you know, and I'm going to talk about how he had, you know, called the 7. I'm going to give you some more scripture. But the point is, I wanted people to know that Christ promised to use signs and miracles to confirm the preaching of the word and was not limited to the apostles. And that's why we read Thursday, we talked about in St. Mark 16-18. He said these signs will follow them that believe when he was commissioned, those apostles. But he let you know, and I'm going to show you in scripture today in the book of Acts. We're going to be in the book of Acts a lot. But I want to show you in the scriptures that not only the apostles was able to do the same thing Jesus did, but other believers, we're going to talk a little bit about Philip, maybe going about speaking, that they as born-again believers, they was able to operate and have the authority and the anointing to heal the sick, to lay hands on the sick and they recover, and to cast out devils. Now, my first scripture today, let's go to Luke, the 9th chapter. Let's go to Luke. I'm going to be in my King James Version. We're going to be in King James Version in the Living Bible because I want you to see this. In Luke, the 9th chapter, there too again, your faith begins when you know what is the will of God and you need to know. In Luke, the 9th chapter, Luke 9, and we're going to begin the reading at that first verse. It says, then we know he's talking about Jesus, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now right there, that's showing you right there what is the will, what was the will of God, what he did for them, okay? I'm going to read Luke, the 9th chapter, from my, as I stated, from the Living Bible. And you know, it's always good to read the scripture from more than one translation. That's always can be a blessing to you. Okay? The Living Bible said, one day Jesus called together his 12 apostles and gave them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the coming of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Don't even take along a walking stick. He instructed them, nor a traveling bag, nor food, nor money, not even an extra coat. When you enter each village, be a guest in only one home. If the people of the village won't receive your message, when you enter it, shake off it dust from your feet as you leave. It is a sign that you have abandoned that village to faith. So they begin the circle of the village, preaching the good news and healing the sick. I wanted you to see there too again, what is my word? Like I said, I shared with one of my churches that I ministered. I said, put your eyes on it. Now let's go. And see, I wanted you to see what was the will of God. You see, he gave them authority. And guess what? Now the Bible tells us, I think it's in Hebrews 13:8, we can boldly say that the Lord is our helper because Jesus is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Now guess what? You, like I said in St. Mark 16, you don't have to be an apostle or a prophet or evangelist or a pastor and teacher to lay your hands on yourself and pray for you. Now, James 5, I think about the 14-16, it tells us in that 5 that if any sick, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. If they committed any sin, it shall be forgiven, and the Lord will raise them up. There too again, let's get it in you. This is not God's will for sickness and disease to dominate my body. You got to get that in you before you can really believe and trust God to heal it in your body. Do you not know you can command healing in your body? I find out once you know the will of God, you can command that to come to you, to manifest itself in your life. I don't ask God to heal me because God done already settled that through the atonement work of Christ, through Isaiah 53, through Matthew 8, through 1 Peter 2. He done already let me know it is his will. So when sickness or any symptom of pain attach itself to my body, I start binding, rebuking, and commanding. That's what I do. Yes, I go to the doctor if I have to. That's what I'm saying. I'm not telling people to exclude the doctor. No, you need to go. If you need to go, listen, it's God's will for you to be here, whatever way it comes to. But God is the one that do the healing. Amen. One who's trying to get you to stand and said, no, I'm not going to let the enemy do this. My next scripture, let's go to Acts 3. We're going to do it first. Acts 3. And like I said, there too again, you need to know that it's God's will for you to be healed. I want you to hear me. It's not God's will for you. And I don't see, like I say, certain 5-4 ministry, how the enemy attacked their body. First, he's trying to get us to shut up. He wants us to be quiet. He see, the enemy don't mind you going to church. He don't mind you reading this word. But he don't want you to be a doer. Because he know if you and I believe and trust what God's word say about us and do what God say, we going to experience the manifestation of the fulfillment of that promise. So he going to go to extreme measure. Some of you don't know some of the things that I've been experiencing, the attacks that I've been had on my body since I even started teaching this. But I know it's the enemy trying to shut me up. He don't want me to tell you. And I have to have people praying for me and God coming, God helping me to fight against it, to resist it. Because the enemy going to do that. That's why if you're a born-again believer, you're dealing with a lot of attacks. Why? So I'm just trying to live right and look like everything coming. That's the enemy. He's trying to get you to be quiet. He don't want you to cry loud. He don't want you to do that. So the best way he feel he can stop you, if I put sickness on them, if I do, I can interrupt, I can intercept and stop them from doing what God called them to do. Listen, you have an enemy. Okay? Acts the third chapter. Let's look at verse 1. Start at verse 1. The third chapter, verse 1. It said, now Peter and John went up together. I'm in the King James Version. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking as and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lift him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, stood, and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which said for Alma, at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. Now, can you imagine? I believe that, I don't know about him, but I would have been saying, thank you, at least I'm here. That's better than compared to being able to walk, that been at the beauty gate receiving money from people. It would be, honey, he enjoyed his healing. Can you imagine? I don't know about you, but like I said, for me, I've been, praising God, thank you. All this time I've been going through and not being able to walk, but just sit here, can't move, but I thank God. They didn't have silver and gold, but what they gave me was more than silver and gold. Amen, somebody? Okay, I'm going to read it from the Living Translation. I'm in Acts the third chapter. As we said, we're in Acts the third chapter. It said, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he would put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. Now, it said this man was lame, that it said he was lame from birth, and every day at 3 o'clock, because the people went in to pray. He would be there every day because he knew a flush of people were going to come in, and that was the best place he could be. He couldn't walk. He was lame from birth, but I could ask them for some money. Now, I don't see, he wasn't even expected to be healed. I don't believe he was expecting that day to be healed because let me read on. He wasn't expecting to be here, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intentionally, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting a gift, but Peter said, I don't have any money for you, but I give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up, and as he did, the man's feet and ankle bone were healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the beauty gate, they was absolutely astonished. They all rushed out to Solomon Cananea, where he was holding tightly to Peter and John, everyone stood there in awe of the wonderful thing that had happened. Can you imagine that? Here this man had been lame from birth, and he had to be, he had been lame from mother womb, how he was carried, and how he would just sit there. You know, ain't that something? You know, where I live at, certain places like going into Lowe's and certain places, Walmart, sometimes you see people sitting on the sidewalk, you know, digging for money and whatever. And, you know, a lot of times if I have change, I put it in there. Now, I used to wouldn't do it, you know, because I said, some of these people, they can be lying. But, you know, when you led of the Spirit, and I hit a little pause right there, y'all, it is so needed for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again believer, give the Holy Spirit and ask him, I need you to lead me today, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit know y'all. He knows. Oh, how he knows. Okay, let's go to I'm going to Acts, the fourth chapter in the 30th verse. Let's go see what that 30th verse say. And just talking about, and this you could, you know, read it on your own time. It talk about how they had the disciples. It's amazing how Peter and John were released, and they would continue to pray. It even said in the 22nd verse, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle healing was shown. There too again, these apostles and these people took it serious. Now, you know, it'll do you good to read Acts in its entirety. Because you would find out after they came out the upper room, not only those apostles, but even believers. Now, great persecution came out and it scattered the saints. But God caused that to work for their good because they was able to cover more grounds when they were scattered because people went in different, you know, they went in different directions. They was able to go in that way to share this gospel. But they believed. They were so on fire of God when he came out the upper when they came out the upper room. Well, guess what? Some of the saints, and sometimes y'all, we can let the flame of the fire of God go down on our life due to our surrounding, due to affliction and persecution. But let me tell you something, my brother and sister, right now, if you need fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit, lift your hands right now and say, Father, I need a fresh. I need to be refreshed with the Holy Spirit. I need to be endure with your power, with your fire. I need it right now in the name of Jesus. Believe God. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will refill you once again. And listen, it's many refilling, that you'll be refilled again from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, that the fire of God will burn in your soul again like it did when you first got saved. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray and I release from the crown of your head to the sole of their feet that they will be refreshed, be refilled with the Holy Spirit in fire. Right now, in the name of Jesus, that the fire of God will begin to purge them again from stress, from whatever that have hindered and kept them from going forth, that have caused them to be cold. Father, you said in your word, you will not have us lukewarm or be cold. You'll spew us out of your mouth. Father, stir them again. Stir them again. And refill them again, stir them again, baptize them again with the fire in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Because, y'all, I'm telling you, you can, as the old folks said, you know, might not be a good term, you can let your fire go out. Your enthusiasm for the things of God, you can lose it based upon which the things in life that is contrary to what God says, what you experience it. You know, sometimes I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I need some fresh, even ministry, I need some fresh manna. I need to be refilled again. I need your fire to purge me again. I need to be stirred again. All of this is important in order for us to be consistent, to be diligent in the things of God. Because sometimes, y'all, we can allow what we see to cause us to begin to, you know, I don't feel like I need to witness. I don't think I want to pray for somebody sick. I know when the first time I prayed and laid hands on folks, like everybody I laid hands on, they died. And I told the Lord, I said, why in the world you want me to pray? They ain't going to do nothing but, and I know what the devil taught me. They ain't going to do nothing but die. Why you want me to pray for people? But the Lord began to let me know, still continue to be consistent. And as I continue to be consistent, my faith begin to increase. My confidence that these signs will follow them that believe, not only just because I was a prophet, because at that time, God hadn't revealed to me that I was a prophet. But as I continue to do it, I begin to see, even as a pastor, I remember one time I laid hand on this preacher. He came to the church regular, and I laid hands on him, and I prayed for him. And that next Sunday, he got up. He said, I want to give a testimony. He said, before the woman of God prayed for me, and what he used to call me, he said, before the woman God prayed me, he said, in my shoulders, I would just ache all the time and just hurt. He said, but after she prayed for me, he said, man, the stiffness left, the pain left. But that even encouraged me. And I'm saying it to you, and that's why I wanted to share with you in the beginning what I say. Christ promised to use signs and miracles to confirm the preaching of the word was not limited to the apostles. And like I said, you need to know it was not limited to them. If you are born again believer, St. Mark 16, you can lay your hands on yourself. You might not can't get to the church. You might not, your pastor might not, for whatever reason, be able to come to you. But when you know the will of God, that's where your faith begins. Father, you said, I can lay my hand on myself. Now, I bind this sickness. I bind this pain. I command it to get out of my body in Jesus' name. You ain't my inheritance. You ain't my portion. You don't belong to me. Go. And I found out when you make up in your mind, it's a status to start standing on what God's word says. You might not experience suddenly and immediately results from it. But guess what? You got to be consistent with, oh, no, this ain't God's will. I remember one day I ate some fish that next day, my knees, my elbow, and I had to be consistent. That next whole following day, I would come and say, no, gout, you don't belong. I know you have a name. I find out you gout. And I found out, gout, you trying to interfere. You don't want me to eat no seafood, not just no, but I'm going to eat it because it blessed. Now, I don't give you permission to linger in my body. I didn't even give you permission to get on my body. Now, I command you by the authority in Jesus to get out. Gout, go, pain, go. And I command you to go now. Now, like I said, I didn't experience a sudden and immediate results from it. But as I was consistent, I kept throughout that day, I said, no, no, no. Now, I don't even know when it left. But I'm just saying, you got to know how you can't resist and you can't fight what you don't know. When God gave you authority, but you need to know, what do I have authority over? Well, you have authority over the enemy, whatever the enemy doing. And we showed you, we're going to continue. Some sickness, it like I said, come from the devil, and some of it is self-afflicted. You got to know when you cause it and when the devil causes it. And even when you cause it, and it's been time ago, I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, God, if I cause these pains to be on my body, forgive me. Now I command healing and reveal to me what I'm doing, God. And God will reveal to you, my brother. But like I said, a lot of times you might not get to Southern Amelia Resort, okay? We in Acts the 4th chapter, the 30th verse. It's if when they, in the third, I'm in the 31 verse now. Okay. All right, Lord. Okay. But anyway, like I said, this is about Peter and John, and it tell you how they were beaten and all of this stuff. But in that 29th verse, it said, "Now, Lord, behold, they are threatened, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, thou stretching forth their hand to heal, and that signs and wonder may be done by the name of thy holy child." There too, again, I want to show you this because, like I said, they had to pray that God would grant them boldness, the inner power of the Spirit and the reality of God present brought about would fulfill. And there too, again, God have to grant us the courage and the boldness. You know, I be listening to something, you know, right in the supermarket. I have had time from people that pray for me at certain places I would be in. And then some people, you said, "Well, can I pray now?" Some of them look at you like they don't really want you to pray. They don't want you to pray for them right there in the press and the grocery store, whatever. But if you led of the Spirit, you need to pray. Because just like this young man in the third, I don't believe this young man had any idea, this lame man had any idea, "I'm finna be delivered." I don't believe he was expecting that to happen. But God did it for him. Okay, let's go to Acts 5:16. As I stated, we in the Acts Apostles. Acts 5:16. Hallelujah. And it there too again. Here go Peter and all of them. They doing what the Lord told them. Okay, I'm going to start at that 12th verse. It's, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonder work among the people. And they were all with one accord in solemn port. And of the rest during, no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord multitude, both of men and women." And so much, listen, and see, these apostles, they had to believe in what Jesus told them. They had to believe what the word said. You've been anointed to preach the gospel. You've been anointed with the authority and power to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, and for people to be healed. Well, you and I, are just like I said in the beginning, I had to learn to believe as a believer, not because I'm a prophet, one of the fivefold ministry gift, and that's why I wanted to say they really get it in you. Christ promised to use signs and miracles to confirm the preaching of the word was not limited to the apostles. But guess what? It's not limited not only to the apostles, but it's not limited when it comes down to the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher. If you are born again believer, you can start today with that whatever pain you have. You can lay your hands on you. First, repent. "Lord, forgive me. I tolerate with this pain. I let myself get immune to scripture instead of me believing you." Some of you probably don't read about Hezekiah. Y'all see, listen, when Hezekiah got the news from Isaiah that said his house in order, he was finna die. The Bible said he turned his face to the wall, and he reminded God of his goodness, of what he did for God, his service to the things of God. And God, before the prophet got in the view, he had the prophet to turn around, and God added some years to it. So my thing is, you can start today. Where faith begins, where the will of God is known. So if you've been walking around all your life dealing with being tormented with some kind of pain, some kind of disease, do you not know you can start today with this message you just hear and say, "You know what, I'm tired of it." See, the old saints used to tell me, until you get tired of something, you'll tolerate it. But when you done had enough of it, well, guess what, this is good news. Just like Delaney, look how many years he had probably been like just going to every day. That's why I said once he got healed from Peter, he, guess what? He couldn't, you know, the people had to look at him. They looked at him because they know, hey, he come in there praising God with them in the hour of prayer. And they said, hey, look, that's the guy that was lame from birth. And here he is, and got here. It's never too late, my brother and sister. Where the will of God is known, that's where your faith. And you can say, "Father, I thank you for the word that you sent to me. This ain't your will. Father, forgive me. I've been tolerating with pain. I've been tolerating with, you can name it if it have a name. I've been tolerating with this sickness in my body. Now, Father, forgive me. Now, I'm believing you. I command this thing based upon your word. Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 10-17, I believe it is. 1 Peter 2:24. See, you can do that. God wants you well. Now, there too again, I'm not telling you to stop taking your prescription. Go to the doctor. And they said, no, it's gone. That's what you have to do. You know, I repented. You know, God forgive me for taking this prescription. I did specific, but I'm not at liberty to release it right now. But I said, Lord, forgive me. Now, God, I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to believe what you say. One of my leaders, and she with the Lord now, the late Apostle Ida Bell Parker, she used to tell us when she was dealing with certain illness in her body and she had to take prescription, she said, whenever I would take it, I'd be get out. This was my prayer. Father, I forbid any side effect from this medicine. It going to only do what needs to be done. And other than that, it won't affect my body. She began to, she just didn't put it. She said, y'all don't just put prescription in your mouth. She said, but pray and come against it so you can intercept and stop and bind up the side effect. Now, somebody said, Prophet Miller, that is so foolish what you're saying. See, you got to do it by faith. Don't you know everything that we receive from God is by faith? And that's why God gave all us a measure of faith. It's by faith, and your faith can grow. It can be developed. But it only grows when you apply it. You can't just say, I got faith. And they said faith without corresponding action is not no faith. So you do something you have to do. God ain't going to make you do this. And versus do something, you have to make up in your mind. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to do what the word say. You have to do it. But there too, again, like I say, just with the signs, it would tell you, and I'm going to read on down to the 14th verse, probably my last scripture for the day. It said, in the believer were more added to the church, men and women. But it said, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the city, round about it unto Jerusalem, bringing the sick folks, and then which were vexed with unclean spirit, and they were healed everyone. This sounds like Jesus to me. Don't this sound like, now even though they got caught and they put them in prison for it, but the point I want to show you how these apostles, these believers, when they came out the upper room, it was filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence according to the Bible, and speaking in tongues. Guess what? They was excited. Where verse? I'm in the Living Bible now. I'm going to close with this one, I believe. The point I want to show you, how they believed after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they begin to have a desire. And Peter, though, they was, you know, a lot of them, when they came to be apostles, and some of them, they weren't there to see the work of Jesus. Some of them, better yet, they didn't walk with Jesus, but as it was taught to them, they was taught. But what was taught, they put it into practice. You know, a lot of times you can go to church and you can hear certain teachers, but that don't mean you put it into practice. God told me one day, he said, you trying to believe me for certain illness and come again. He said, but you don't even believe me for a headache. And I began to rebuke. Well, no, I started with a hiccup. I started rebuking when I got knowledge of my authority as a believer. And it don't, well, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. One day we're having a hiccup. I used to have a hiccup. And I tried to go drink 9 drops of water. I believe that's what they said. And then they said people could scare, you know, they could frighten you and you know, and stop it. I began, the thought came to me one day, and it was the Holy Spirit. He said, why don't you rebuke it? Rebuke the hiccups? You know, now to the natural, that was so foolish. You don't rebuke no hiccup. You got to drink 8 drops of water. You got to drink water, or somebody got to scare it off of you and it'll stop. And I just opened my mouth when it came to me, and I said, I rebuked this hiccup. And as soon as I said it, yeah, I did. With that, I got something to go. I said, it stopped. I was amazed. That's what I can imagine they felt when this lame person was walking. I was amazed. I said, oh, my goodness. And from that day to this day, if I have the hiccup, I do not drink water. I just rebuke it. I just rebuke it in Jesus' name because I experience a manifestation of it. Okay? We in Acts, the fifth chapter, that 16th verse, but I started at the 12th. Like I said, this Peter ministry. It's meanwhile the apostles, were performing many miracles, the miraculous signs of one among the people. And the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon. For no one else dared to join them, though everyone had high regard for them. And more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women, as a result of the apostle work, sick people were brought out into the street on the bed and mat so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by the crowd, came in from the village around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed with evil spirit, and they were all healed. You know why sometimes people ain't drawn to a lot of believers and five-fold ministry? Because they ain't seeing the manifestation. People want to see. People want to experience it. They don't want you to just, and I had to learn that. People don't just want to hear you saying, Prophet Miller, this is what God say. But when you speak, I want to see and experience the manifestation. That's why I felt led to pray. And I believe that somebody hearing this broadcast today, this word is setting you free because you don't tolerate. You've been tormented and harassed by the enemy about certain pains and symptoms in your body. But you rising up now in the name of Jesus, and you rebuking and you commanding that pain to get out of your body. And I come in agreement with you. By the authority in Jesus' name, I command that pain to come. I cast it out of. I command it to come out of your body. The stiffness in your knees, those joint pains, I command it to leave. I even come against the spirit of gout. Gout, you've been redeemed. Whoever listening to this, you've been dealing with gout. You've been redeemed from that spirit of gout. Now, I command gout. I cast it out of. The joints in your body, your elbow, your knees, your toe. I command gout to come out. Go out, go from your body now in the name of Jesus. Be made whole. Be healed in Jesus' name right now from gout. I rebuke gout right now. I command it leave because God healed me from gout. And I know it's his will for you. Now listen, we're going to stop. I'm going to pick up here. On Thursday, Acts the 5th chapter, 16th verse. Don't miss it. We're going to continue. Father, now in the matchless name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your word today. I want to thank you for the anointing that been released to destroy the yoke, to remove the burden of pain of that spirit of gout. I give you praise. I give you honor for it. I pray, Father, even as we go up there, you'll continue to bring enlightenment, knowledge and understanding and revelation of the atonement work of Christ for healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. We're going to sign out. But listen, it's God's will for you to be healed and made whole. In Jesus' name. Listen, and thank you, Jesus. Enjoy the rest of your day.